Hi everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Tomorrow Never Knows, a Beatles podcast, and it's here, the 2022 Revolver Super Deluxe Box. 63 songs and 2.5 hours of Revolvery goodness. And I'm going to go through the 2022 mix track by track and the two discs of Revolver Sessions track by track. Now, before we start, I'd like to say a big thank you to Peter Jackson, like not only for that brilliant, brilliant Get Back film, but for developing the technology, which he called Mal, after Mal Evans, for developing that technology which separates all the tracks without any bleeding, which is what they used to create this 2022 mix. So the difference between this mix and, say, the others, Sgt. Pepper and White Album, is they could separate the tracks, but there was still a little bit of bleeding. Like, if you had the vocals, say John's vocals, you might be able to hear a little bit of drums in the background bleeding through, but with this technology, there's none of that. Every track is clean. So, of course, I was expecting big, big things. And, you know, can it be as good as the original mono version? Is that even possible? Let's find out. Track one of the best opening album tracks of all time. This has been out for a few weeks already, so you've probably heard it, and it's Taxman. And look, I really like this. I think the drums sound nice and crisp, the guitars are nice and crunchy, the harmonies are all there. My only problem with this, and you're probably going to think that I'm nitpicking, and I am. That's what these Beatles obsessives do, don't we? Is the cowbell. The cowbell has been turned down. Like, I love the cowbell. I love the cowbell. The cowbell is like an uncle to me. You know, I've spent many an hour in my youth shaking my head to that cowbell, and the cowbell's been turned down, and I don't know why. But as I said, I'm nitpicking, and that's my only problem with it, and I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. 10 being the original on the 1966 mono version, and 9 being the 2022 version. Track 2, we have an absolute Beatles classic, Eleanor Rigby, and this is probably easier to mix than the other songs because all you really have is Paul's vocals, double-tracked a couple of times, and a string quartet. So there's not really that much to do, and Giles Martin has done a fantastic job. Nothing's missing. Everything sounds bright and clean, and it's just beautiful. Paul's voice is fantastic. But what got me about this, and it's got nothing to do with the mix, but when I looked at the time, it only goes for 2 minutes and 9 seconds. And I was like, how can a classical operatic pop song like that only go for 2 minutes? It seems so much longer. Paul seems to fit in so much. And I guess, you know, that's why they're the Beatles. That's why, you know, absolute geniuses. And I'm going to give this a 10 out of 10. And I'm going to say something really controversial here. This might even be my go-to version of Eleanor Rigby from now on. And I probably would give it an 11, but you just can't beat the historical value of the original 1966 version. This one goes to 11. All right, track 3, one of my favourite songs on the album, I'm Only Sleeping. I love John's vocals on this. I absolutely love them. He actually sounds like he's sleeping. And another great job, another fantastic job. Like the other tracks I was speaking about, it's crisper and it's cleaner and it's clearer. But the best part is the backwood guitar is louder, and I love the backwood guitar. I just love that stuff. I love the psychedelic stuff of Revolver. I wish there was more of it, and I'm just so happy that that backwood guitar is louder. And this, again, could be, you know, my go-to version of I'm Only Sleeping, and I'm going to give this another 10. So far, so good. But this is where we run into a little bit of trouble. Track 4, Love to You. Okay, the sitar sounds shinier and sounds like a lot of time has been spent on the sitar, which so it should. But my problem with this is that the tablas have been turned down or lost in the mix, which I really don't like because I love the tablas. And for some reason, the tambourine has been turned up. Like, why not turn up the tablas and turn down the tambourine? But my biggest problem with this mix is that the raga harmonies are turned down. And that's my favourite part of the song, those harmonies. And I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is for that. I guess Indian music is harder to mix than Western pop music. And, you know, George Martin did it, but George Martin is a genius and not everyone can be a genius like George Martin. I'm only going to give this one a 7. Track 5, Here, There and Everywhere. Now, I've made it known in past podcasts that I'm not a big fan of this song. To me, this song sounds old. It sounds like it could be on Beatles for Sale. Well, no, don't get me wrong, I love Beatles for Sale, but it just doesn't sound Revolver-ish. And I never sort of knew why until I listened to this mix. And what Giles has done in this mix is he's turned up the backing vocals. And that, I think that's what makes it sound old, those oohs, those backing vocals where they're singing ooh, and he's turned them up, and I don't like that much. And that, you know, that this is a personal choice, of course. You know, I know a lot of people love this song and think it's the best song on the album, and even John Lennon thought it was the best song on the album, but just for me, it's not. And by Giles turning up those oohs, it does make it sound like it's from Beatles for Sale or A Hard Day's Night. I think what he should have done is try to make it sound a bit more Revolver-ish, you know, maybe turn up the guitars a bit or something. I don't know. So, you know, I'm going to give this a 6. Not because of the song, don't get me wrong. I'm not judging the song, but just because of the mix. I don't think his mix enhanced it at all. Track 6, Yellow Submarine. Now, I can't really tell much difference, to tell you the truth, which I guess is a good thing, and that's what Giles Martin should be aiming for, not being able to tell much difference except that it's cleaner and brighter, which is but that's my personal opinion. The only difference I can really hear is Paul's captain voice is a bit louder, which is a good thing. I like that. I'm going to give that a 9 out of 10. And now, track 7, which She Said, She Said, which is one of my favourite Beatles songs of all time. Like, this is in my top 10. And for me, this mix is probably the biggest disappointment on the whole album. Why? Because the crashing cymbals, I love those crashing cymbals that... I love that. You know, as a kid, I used to sit at home and just pretend I was smashing those cymbals, and they're turned down so low they're almost lost. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. Like, I think, you know, if we look at the 1966 mono mix, the Beatles sat down with George Martin and mixed that. And those big crashing cymbals would have been someone's personal choice, probably Ringo's, maybe John's, who knows. But to get rid of that, there's no reason to get rid of that. And I was just so disappointed when that happened. And, you know, this version is probably a version that I will never listen to again. The rest of the song's great. The rest of the song sounds fantastic. But this is just, you know, major disappointment, because I was looking forward to seeing what he did with those cymbals. I thought, you know, is he going to enhance them? Is he going to make them sound a little bit different? But I didn't think in a million years that he was going to basically get rid of them. And I actually messaged him on Twitter and asked him why, because he commented on something, and I said, well, why'd you turn down the symbols on She Said, She Said, you know. And of course he didn't answer back because he'd be getting millions of questions from us annoying Beatles fans. And so I'm only going to give this mix a 6 out of 10. And like I said, for me, it's the biggest disappointment on the album. All right, track 8, or track 1, side 2, however you want to put it, if you're old school, Good Day Sunshine. Yep, again, crisper and cleaner. One of the highlights for me is the piano. I think it's George Martin playing the piano. He's turned up a bit, so that's really nice. It's a nice version, you know, there's nothing special about it, but it doesn't really lose anything. So I'm going to give that a 9. Speaking of 9, number 9, track 9, And Your Bird Can Sing, another one of my favourites. I mean, who doesn't love And Your Bird Can Sing? If you don't love And Your Bird Can Sing, you don't love life. The good news is the drums are up and are snappy, which is good. The trouble I have with this is when John sings a part, When Your Prized Possession, and the part where he sings When Your Bird Is Broken, there's a really nice little jangly guitar riff behind that, and that's been turned down. And so I think that spoils this mix, and this is definitely not going to be my go-to And Your Bird Can Sing. So, you know, I'm going to give it a 7. And look, it might sound like I'm being too harsh and too critical, but this is my personal opinion. And yeah, if you're going to remix a Beatles album, you're open to a lot of criticism. Like, I mean, even if Paul McCartney remixed these albums himself, he'd be open up to a hell of a lot of criticism, more criticism. So, yeah, as I say, this is just my opinion, and I'd love to hear your opinions if you'd like to leave that on our YouTube channel. I'd love to hear it. Track 10, For No One. This is one of my favourite Paul McCartney songs of all time. I love it. I love how baroque and classical it is. I love the lyrics. I love the way he sings it. Unfortunately, in this mix, when Paul sings And In Her Eyes You See Nothing, the piano riff behind it has been turned down a bit. But other than that, it sounds really good. It sounds great. And I think it's one of the highlights on this. And I'm going to give it a 9. Track 11, Dr. Robert. Again, the drums are down. I don't know why Ringo wasn't sitting next to him while he was mixing saying, turn up the bloody drums. That's a bad Liverpoolian accent. But the good part is during the well, I'm feeling fine, the guitar and keyboards just really shine and it really makes it good, which you don't really hear that well in the 1966 mix. So I'm going to give this one, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Track 12, The Wonderful I Want to Tell You by George. Yeah, it's pretty perfect. He got it right with most of the George songs. The drums and the harmony are crisp. So is the off-key piano, which I love. I love that piano. And the hand claps. The raga bit at the end, where they're harmonising at the end, I've got a couple of bootlegs where that goes longer and it sounds great, and I think that was a missed opportunity there. He could have extended that, but, you know, he probably wanted to keep it to the exact time that it was in 1966. But yeah, I'm gonna give that a 10, actually. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10. Track 13, Got to Get You Into My Life. Now, the horns sound really sharp. I'm not a big fan of horns, but they sound good here. The drums, again, are too low. But, you know, it's pretty much perfect. The guitar is awesome sounding. It sounds fantastic. Paul's voice is really showcased in this. Like, sometimes you forget how good Paul's voice really was, and this is one of the tracks that really shows it. I'll give this a 9. All right, the big one. Last but definitely not least, probably the showcase of the album, Tomorrow Never Knows. Now, my only problem with this, you guessed it, is the drums. I was really disappointed in the drums, especially after hearing the version on the Love album, that version of Within You and Without You mixed with Tomorrow Never Knows. The drums are so heavy on that. They're perfect on that. And I actually thought they would use that drum track. They would just take that from Love and use that drum track as the bass of the song, but they didn't. And the drums are a little bit lost. And the drums are really the backbone of this song, you know. But look, I understand how hard it would be to mix a song like this without losing anything. And he's done quite a good job. He has done a good job. Like I said, you know, the drums could be better, but there's so much going on. I couldn't even imagine mixing this from scratch. But the good news is John's voice through the Leslie speaker sounds fantastic. It sounds louder, which I love. I absolutely love that. The piano, the tinkling of that piano at the end is a little bit lower. I don't know why. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. If it had, all I had to do was put the drums from Love, and it would have been perfect. It would have been a 10. I think that was an opportunity that was really missed. Now, two other songs were mixed during this 2022 session, and that was Paperback Rider, the single Paperback Rider, and Rain. And with Paperback Rider, just sounds awesome. The drums, they got the drums right in this song. They're heavy and they're thumping, and you can hear Ringo's bass drum. But sometimes bass is a little bit too high and it sounds a little bit blobby, if that's the right word. And there's lots of reverb in the chorus, which is great, and it's a great job. And this, yeah, you know, I'll have to give it a couple more listens, but this could even be my go-to Paperback Rider, and I'm giving it a 10. And then we go to The Flip Side, which is one of my all-time favourite Beatles songs, and like I said before, I think should have been included on the album, and so should a Paperback Rider. Can you imagine if those two songs were included on the album? It just wouldn't... There's no words. But what I loved about Rain is you can actually hear the hand claps at the beginning, and I love that. And they really worked the harmonies, which is fantastic. The guitar sounds sharp. The bass again is too high in a couple of parts, which can make it sound a little bit muddy, but overall it's fantastic, and I give it a 10, and they did a really great job with the single. And I'm just wondering if they worked on that first, or wherever they worked on it. But I'm thinking maybe they worked on that first because, you know, and they were just full of that oomph and that energy, and they just put everything into it. But yeah, it's great. So overall, I'll give the album, compared to the 1966 mono version, I'll give it an 8, which is, you know, which is not bad at all. One question I have, and maybe someone can answer it, is, like, is Giles Martin a real die-hard Beatles fan? Because he seems to have missed a few of what I think, and what other people that I've spoken to think, key elements. Is he a die-hard Beatles fan, or is he someone who grew up with the Beatles and grew up and was the son of their producer, and is a great producer in his own right? You know, I'd like to hear someone else have a go at this. Like, I'd like to hear, like, Peter Jackson. I know that sounds controversial because he's not a record producer, but I would love to hear Peter Jackson have a go at this, because if you listen to him talk about the Beatles, he knows everything about the Beatles and everything about their music. And I'd love to see him in, you know, a record studio with a good engineer, and him just saying, you know, turn this up, turn this down. I'd love to hear him mix it all, Roy Thomas Baker, the guy who mixed the classic Queen albums, you know, give everyone a go. Give everyone a go. And let's see if someone can bring it to a 9 or a 10. Having said that, I do love Giles Martin's mix of the White Album. I really love that. That is fantastic. I guess, you know, it's not the instrumentation and the vocals aren't as complicated as something like Revolver. So, you know, but I do love that. And I guess the only way to get a perfect mix of Revolver is to just give everyone the tracks and we can all mix our own personal Revolver to the way we like it. All right, time for the headline. The Beatles 2022 Revolver Sessions. Okay, so we're at disc 2, the Revolver Sessions. So track 1 is Tomorrow Never Knows, take 1. Now, we got this on Anthology almost 30 years ago, but, you know, we're Beatles fans and we're used to rebuying stuff, so what the hell. For those of you who haven't heard it, and I'm surprised that the amount of people who haven't heard it, it's a very swampy mix. It doesn't sound like the original at all, except for John's vocals. And one of my favourite things on the Anthology film, an outtake, it's got the three Beatles sitting there with George Martin and he's playing them this track and George Harrison is pretending to swim underwater while he's playing it. That's how swampy it is. It's really good. I loved it when I first heard it. For all you stoners out there, if you haven't heard it, you have to have a listen to it. But the interesting thing is, on Anthology 2, it clocks in at 3 minutes 14. Here, it's 3 minutes and 32 seconds. So we get an extra 12 seconds of it. And there's a nice little John chatting thing at the end, which is always pleasant to hear John's voice. I could listen to John all night and day. Track 2 is Tomorrow Never Knows, mono mix, room 11, and this clocks in at 3:05, which is 8 seconds more. And it's got more at the end. Yes, you hear that tinkling piano, more of that tinkling piano, and this is a real psychedelic mix. The drums are heavy, it's a bit sloppier, but it's just really psychedelic. It kind of makes me think this might have been what it would have sounded like if the Beatles ever performed it live. I really love this mix. I love it, and I can't stop listening to it. It's absolutely fantastic. Track 3 is Got to Get You Into My Life, take 5. Again, we got this an Anthology, but this one has a minute and 7 seconds of studio talk, which is always interesting. I think it's better produced than the Anthology version. It's a little bit longer at the end. It seems that if they're giving us something that we've already got on Anthology, they extend it with a little bit more studio talk, or they fade it out a little bit slower, so they are giving us a little bit extra. Track 4, Got to Get You Into My Life, second version, unnumbered. Now, for me, this is one of the real showpieces of this whole sessions thing. I love this. I absolutely love it. To me, it's the best version of Got to Get You Into My Life. Like I said before, I'm not a big fan of the horns, and they replaced the horns with fuzz guitar, which is just fantastic. And the guitars sound more jangly. The harmonies are fantastic. And it just, to me, it sounds way more Revolver-ish. It's got that Revolver sound. The other one with the horns is a bit more funky. This one just sounds like it should be on Revolver. And if I could, I would replace I would replace the horn version with this version tomorrow. But yeah, this is a real showpiece, and this is just, to me, there's like three or four songs that are worth buying the whole set for, and this is one of them. Track five, Got to Get You Into My Life, second version, take eight, which just sounds like an instrumental version of the Revolver version, but it's got a bit more fuzz guitar, and it's very, very cool. And what I've noticed about these instrumental versions is that they really stand up on their own. I mean, you can just listen to them, and it's just fantastic music. You know, the music underneath the melodies was just great, and that's part of the genius of the Beatles. Track six, Love to You. This is another gem. Love to You, take one. It's basically George on his acoustic. It sounds like it could be an Isha demo. Some of the guitar playing sounds a bit Spanish, and I'm not sure who's harmonizing with him. I think it's Paul, but it's really charming, and it actually sounds like George is in the room singing to you. I love it. It's fantastic. Track seven, Love to You, Unnumbered Rehearsal, which is basically a sitar instrument with George mumbling the melody over it, which is quite nice. I love it at the end when he asks someone, what do you think? And they say, what? I'd love to know who that person is. But it's, you know, it's good to see a song like Love to You getting so much love. Track eight is Love to You again, take seven. And this is George adding a high harmony to what sounds like very close to the finished song. It's interesting to see how they layered harmonies. Like, it's just such a tiny, small harmony, but it adds to it. And that's what I like about it. I like hearing how they built the songs. Track nine is Paperback Writer, takes one and two, backing tracks. There's a lot of studio chatter in this, which is good. It's basically the instrumental, so you can really hear those riffs and really hear those drums, and you can just hear these little bits of guitar playing that you can't hear in the original because of the vocals. It's really good. I like it. I could have sworn it was on Anthology 2. But when I looked, it's not there. It's amazing that they left this out. But I got it mixed up with a lot of bootlegs that it's on. Like, I've had it for years, and it's just good to hear it produced like this, and that it's finally out and that everyone's got it. Track 10 is Rain, take 5, Actual Speed. Now, I've never heard this before. I never knew that they played it faster so that they could slow it down. That's absolute genius. And the interesting thing is, though, Ringo has always said this is his best drumming, and I agree, this and she said, with the booming cymbals. But to hear him play it so fast is just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. His drumming is just so intricate and on time. Track 11 is Rain, take 5, slowed down. So this is the previous take, slowed down into the version that we know. And it's just so cool listening to it as an instrumental, you know. And as I said, what a genius idea to play it fast and slow it down to get that sound. You know, this is Rain karaoke, I guess. How cool would that be if you could go to a karaoke bar and they had Rain and you could sing it? Well, this is it. You can sing it at home until your heart's content. Track 12 is Dr. Robert, take 7. And interestingly, this goes for 2 minutes and 59 seconds compared to the original, which goes for 2 minutes and 14 seconds. It sounds a bit slower. Maybe that's why, because I don't really hear that much difference. There's a few different little guitar sounds and drums, but yeah, it's really cool. It's worth having, and I like it. Track 13, And Your Bird Can Sing, first version, take 2, no giggling. So we got the giggling version an anthology, and this is the no giggling version, which really surprised me because I've had these on bootlegs for years and years, and when Anthology came out, I was like, why did they only include the giggling version? You know, why not both? But I guess, you know, due to time constraints, they couldn't do it. But for those of you who haven't heard it, it's just an absolutely fantastic version. It's got, like, the chiming guitars that the Birds used to do, and that main riff, that that's used as a lead break, and John and Paul are singing together all the way through it, harmonizing together, and it's actually a beautiful, beautiful version. And I'm glad to have this with such good production, not on a scratchy old bootleg. And take 14 is the giggling version that we got on Anthology. But the Anthology version goes for 2 minutes and 13 seconds. This goes for 2 minutes and 23 seconds. So we get like 10 seconds of studio chatter, which is really cool, you know. And that's the end of disc 2. But in itself, just that in itself, if you compare it to all the bootlegs out there, this is better than any of them, really, as a bootleg, and to have it so nicely packaged and so nicely produced. But then we go on to disc 3. Disc 3 is probably my favourite disc. Track 1 is And Your Bird Can Sing, second version, take 5. Now, this is one of my favourite takes of And Your Bird Can Sing. It's, you know, it's a bit sloppy, but it's got this beautiful sort of Beach Boys harmony over the main riff. So when they're playing the main riff, they're doing that. And it's just, love it. Absolutely love it. And Ringo's experimenting a little bit with the drums. It's just, it's a gem, an absolute gem. Track 2 is Taxman, take 11. Again, we got that on Anthology 2. You know, it's, for those of you who haven't heard it, the only real difference is a backing vocal where they're saying, anybody got a little bit of money, which I don't like. The Anthology version is clocks in at 2 minutes and 32. This one is 2 minutes and 37. So it's got a little bit of chatter at the end. Again, they've given us something, because it's from Anthology 2, they've given us a little bit extra. Track 3 is I'm Only Sleeping, rehearsal fragment, again from Anthology 2, but it has extra 8 seconds of chatter. And it's, for those who haven't heard it, it's a beautiful xylophone instrumental, and I wish it was longer. And I have heard longer versions, but, you know, I'd love this. I'd love to listen to, like, a 3-minute version of this. Why give us a fragment, you know? Give us the whole thing. Track 4 is I'm Only Sleeping, take 5. Now, this is a very sort of folksy version. It's a slower sort of version. They actually sound like they're about to fall asleep. There's a breakdown in the middle with some good John chatter that takes us to the end, you know. So it's totally worth having it on here. Track 5 is Only Sleeping, take 5. Which is a nice, fast instrumental. I don't know if I like it that much faster. Like, it wouldn't have suited the song with the vocals over the top, but as an instrumental, it's really quite nice. Track 6 is I'm Only Sleeping, Mono Mix Room 1, which is very close to the original version that's on the 1966 Mono. But this one has got more backward guitar bits, which I really love and which really makes it a worthy addition. And I think this is going to be my go-to Only Sleeping because, as I said before, I really love the psychedelia of Revolver, and this is just really good with that extra backward guitar. Track 7 is Eleanor Rigby's speech before take 2, which is basically just like 2 minutes and 11 seconds of George Martin getting the string quartet together and asking Paul what he thinks. And, you know, it's quite fascinating to hear how much involvement George Martin really had. Like, Paul's just sort of chimes in here and there, but George Martin's organising the whole thing. And it has historic value. It's got good historic value. I don't know if it's worth repeated listenings, though, but, you know, I'm glad it's on here. Track 8 is Eleanor Rigby Take 2, which is basically a string instrumental, but it's good. It's good. There's some stuff there that I'm not sure if I've heard before. And, you know, I like classical music. The Beatles got me into classical music, and I think they wrote, they or George Martin or whoever, wrote some beautiful classical music. Okay, track 9, number 9, is For No One, take 10, backing track. And basically an unproduced musical background, really. It's very Baroque, though, which I really like. The music on its own is very classical and beautiful, and there's some studio chatter in the beginning. And, I think it's one of the highlights on this whole package. But having said that, track 10, which has been out for a couple of weeks, so a lot of us have heard that, which is Yellow Submarine Songwriting Work Tape Part 1, which is a demo of John singing the verse melody on an acoustic, which I've never heard before. And I find it very interesting because all these years, Paul has sort of claimed that it's his song. And John always said, I wrote it with Paul. But this is proof here that John came up with the melody for the verse. And it's really, John's voice just sounds beautiful, and it's quite haunting. And this, I think this and the next track are worth it, just to buy this package just for that. But when I hear John singing the melody, and I think, well, if Paul never would have got involved and never would have come in with the chorus, and they just gave that melody the she said treatment, you know, that just would have been fantastic. But of course that didn't happen, and Yellow Submarine is an absolute classic. Track 11, Yellow Submarine Songwriting Work Tape Part 2. Now, I actually like this even better than the previous one because it's another highlight of the set. It's John and Paul with acoustic guitars, John singing that haunting verse that I really love, and Paul chimes in with the chorus. I'm not sure about the Yellow Submarine. Get down, Yellow Submarine. I'm not sure about that, but it's pretty good, and there's some good studio chatter here, and it just opens your imagination to what this song might have been like had John been on lead vocals and Paul coming in, or had they given it different treatment. But of course, you know, it's Ringo's song, and we all identify it with Ringo, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it is. Track 12, Yellow Submarine Take 4 before sound effects, and that's just what it is. It's just the vocals highlighted, I guess, with the backing tracks, and you don't really realise how much the sound effects added to the song until you listen to this. And then there's track 13, Yellow Submarine Highlighted Sound Effects. Now, we got this, or something very close to this, on the B-side of Freezer Bird. I'm pretty sure it's this version. So basically what this version is like what it says, all the sound effects are highlighted, and you don't really realize how much the sound effects added to the whole imagery of it. Like when, you know, they actually, when I was a kid and I was listening to it, I could actually imagine that I was in the submarine. You take away those effects and you kind of lose that. Track 14, I Want to Tell You, Speech and Take 4. There's some good studio chatter here. You can hear a bit of Ringo. George does the counting at the beginning. He does the 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm wondering if they took that 1, 2, 3, 4 and slowed it down and put it at the beginning of Taxman. I don't know. Does anyone know about that? Because I'd really like to know. And it's basically an instrumental version that breaks down and then is followed by more studio chatter. But, you know, it's good to have. I think I Want to Tell You is a very underrated song. And, you know, I guess they have to put in George songs so he gets the royalties. But this is a great addition. Track 15, Here, There and Everywhere, take 6. Now, I like this version with no backing vocals. Paul's voice just sounds vulnerable, which lends to it. Still not my favourite song, though, but I think it would have been better without the backing vocals, like I said before, because, you know, it makes it sound like an old song. Now, track 16 is interesting. She Said, She Said, John's demo. It goes for 1 minute and 10 seconds, but I've got a bootleg version that has a 3-minute version of this. And what they've presented here is the last minute or so of that. The full version of the demo really shows how the song developed. Don't know why they didn't include the whole thing. You know, that's a mystery. What, 2 more minutes? You know, give us 2 more minutes of that. I thought this was on Anthology again, because I get my demos and Anthology mixed up, but my bootlegs and Anthology mixed up, but it's not. And but see if you can find the full 3-minute version. Okay, last track. Track 17, and that's She Said, She Said, take 15, backing track rehearsal. So this starts with a bit of studio chatter where John shouts. He's trying to, sounds like they're all tired, and he's trying to pep them up. He's like, come on, last track. And basically it's an instrumental, but you can really hear those cymbals crashing. Like if you want to hear what I was talking about, listen to this version with those crashing cymbals, and you can hear some great little guitar riffs which I haven't heard before. And I really think Giles Martin just should have kept it like that. He should have kept it like that with this kind of production. But you know, there you go. But all in all, it's a great package. It is a really great package, especially for those studio sessions. I mean, you get 2 albums worth of studio sessions, which are just better than any bootlegs out there. I haven't spoken about the physical box, and I'm not going to, because you can look at that at YouTube. You can find that anywhere. Plenty of people are posting that sort of stuff. But the one thing... And Apple usually are fantastic with their presentations, but the one thing where I think they've dropped the ball here is with the EP. Okay, so there's an EP included that's got the new mixes of Paperback Writer and Rain, backed with the old mono versions. And they've just put it in a paper slip. Come on. If we're going to pay this money, which we are, which I have, give us a nice cardboard picture cover. Even give us the cover, a smaller cover of Revolver with it. Or give us, I don't know if you've seen the promo for this, but there's some really good colour images. Give us something like that. Why put it in a little paper slip? I just don't get it. I think they really dropped the ball there. But as I said, overall, Fantastic package. I'm glad I've got it. Could have been better, but everything in life can be better, can't it? Anyway, we'll be back, and we're going to review the Get Back film. I know it's very late, but, you know, things have been going on. We'll review a couple more box sets. And thanks for listening, and have a very Beatle day. I'm Greg.